Today we'd like to see the title of Ben-Hadad and Ahab in the 1 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 to 43. To the souls on this online word through podcast or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three exposition questions. Number one, in verse 13, suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, "Thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord." What does it mean, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 2, in verse 23, then the servants of the king of Assyria said to him, "Their gods are gods over the hills, therefore they were stronger than we. But if we fight against them in the plain, surely we will be stronger than they." What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? In verse 42, last question, then he said to him, "Thus said the Lord, because we have let slip out of your hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore your life shall go for his life, and your people for his people." What does it mean, and how can we apply it to our lives? In the last time, chapter 19, verse 21, so Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they are. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Elisha said farewell to his parents and gave up his farm job, following Elijah as his servant. Elisha would have been trained by Elijah how to deliver God's word to the people. As the duty of a prophet, here they ate the slaughtered oxen, likely after a peace offering of thanks to the Lord. Elisha was like Peter and Andrew, who left his nets and followed Jesus upon his calling. It is shown for full devotion to the Lord. Verse 1, now Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his forces together. 32 kings were with him, with horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and made war against it. God permitted other nations to grow powerful and become enemies of Israel and Judah as a divine punishment for their king's disobedience. Over the next two centuries, three primary enemies, Syria, Assyria, and Babylon, threatened this kingdom. Syria was the first of these to rise, posing an immediate threat to Ahab and Israel. Verse 2, then he sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, "Thus says Ben-Hadad, your silver and your gold are mine. Your loveliest wives and children are mine." And the king of Israel answered and said, "My lord, O king, just as you say, I and all that I have are yours." Ab, acknowledging his numerical disadvantage against the Syrians, was prepared to offer tribute to the Syrian camp. Then the messengers came back and said, "To speak Ben-Hadad, saying, indeed I have sent to you, saying, you shall deliver to me your silver and your gold, your wives and your children. But I will send my servants to you tomorrow about this time, and they shall search your house and the houses of your servants. And it shall be that whatever is pleasant in your eyes, they will put it in their hands and take it." So the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, "Notice, please, and see how this man seeks trouble. For he sent to me for my wives, my children, my silver, and my gold, and I did not deny him. And all the elders and all the people said to him, do not listen or consent. Therefore he said to the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king, all that you sent for to your servant the first time I will do, but this thing I cannot do. And the messengers departed and brought back word to him. Then Ben-Hadad sent to him and said, the gods do so to me? More also, if enough dust is left of Samaria for a handful for each of the people who follow me. Ben-Hadad boasts in the abuse of gods. For example, a professional abused God or God's name for his own profit from a customer. So the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not the one who puts on his armor boast like the one who takes it off. 12. And it happened when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he and the kings were drinking at command post, and he said to his servant, get ready. And they got ready to attack the city. Verse 13. Suddenly, a prophet approached the king of Israel, saying, thus said the Lord, have you seen at this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Similar to Obadiah during Elijah era, the prophet during Elisha era served as God's messenger to Ahab. Delivering God's word, this verse highlights God's extraordinary grace, even towards a man as utterly wicked as Ahab. Despite Ahab's complete lack of redeeming qualities, his corruption and leadership in national depravity, God, in his boundless patience and mercy, continued to engage with him. Ahab repeatedly turned his back on God and actively opposed him, yet God persistently offered him chance after chance. This shows God's profound, long-suffering mercy and compassion, which are often taken for granted. In essence, even when human inclination might be to abandon such a person, God continued to communicate with Ahab. The cross-reference right here. So Ahab said, by whom? And he said, thus said the Lord, by the young leaders of the province. Then he said, who will set the battle in order? And he answered, you. Then he mustered the young leaders of the provinces, and they were 232, and after them he mustered all the people, all the children of Israel, 7,000. So they went out at noon. Meanwhile, Ben-Hadad and the 32 kings helping him were getting drunk at command post. The young leaders of province went out first, and Ben-Hadad sent out a patrol. And they told him, saying, men are coming out of Samaria. So he said, if they have come out for peace, take them alive. And if they come out for war, they take them alive. Then these young leaders of the provinces went out of the city with the army which followed them, and each one killed his man. So the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the cavalry. Then the king of Israel went out and attacked the horses and chariots and killed the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said to him, go strengthen yourself, take note and see what you should do, for in the spring of the year, the king of Assyria will come up against you. 23. Then the servant of the king of Assyria said to him, the gods are gods of the hill. Therefore they were stronger than we, but if we fight against them in the plain, surely we will be stronger than they. Ben-Hadad offers subscribing to concept of a localized deity, failed to grasp that the God of Israel is omnipresent, not confined to a specific place. As David's psalm suggests, God is universally present. And as Paul preached, God is the Lord of heaven and earth, unbound by geographical limitations. Furthermore, they did not understand that God, not the chariots themselves, was a decisive factor in battle. Horse-drawn chariots were ineffective in hilly or four-step terrain. The cross-reference right there. Then next verse 24. So do this thing, dismiss the kings, each upon his position, but put captains in their places. And you shall muster an army like the army that you have lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. Then we will fight against them in the plain. Surely we will be stronger than they. And he listened to their voice and did so. So it was in the spring of the year that Ben-Hadad mustered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. 27. And the children of Israel were mustered the metal together and given provisions, and they went against them. Now the children of Israel encamped before them like two little flocks of goats, while the Syrians filled the countryside. The Syrian army, with its vast numbers of troops and chariots, completely overwhelmed the landscape. In contrast, the opposing force appeared as small and vulnerable as a flock of sheep on a hillside, dominated by the immense Syrian presence. 2029. Then a man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, "This says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, 'The Lord is God of the hills, he is not God of the valleys.' Therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord." And they encamped opposite each other for 7 days. So it was that on the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel killed 100,000 foot soldiers of the Syrians in 1 day. God defeated the Syrian army for Ahab, intending for Ahab to recognize his servant as the Lord. Despite they won a big battle and then another in the valleys, but still Ahab persisted in living apart from God rather than dedicate himself to him. This led to a subsequent disaster for Ahab, provoking God to once again show his power to the king. A key takeaway is that God is not limited to the hills, presenting mountaintop experience, but is also God of the valleys or plains, signifying difficult times. This challenges the common misconcept that God is only present in the favorable circumstances, as he declared his intent to decisively defeat the Syrians in the valleys as well. 30. But the rest fled apart into the city. Then the well fell on 27,000 of the men who were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and went into the city, into an inner chamber. Then his servants said to him, "Look now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel were our merciful kings. Please let us put sackcloth around our waists and ropes around our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Perhaps he will spare your life." In some ancient Eastern cultures, wearing ropes around the head, often combined with sackcloth, served as a symbolic act of extreme humility, distress, and complete submission, particularly when seeking mercy or acknowledging defeat. So they wore sackcloth around their waist and put ropes around their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, "Your servant Ben-Hadad said, 'Please let me live.' And he said, 'Is he still alive? He is my brother.' Now the men were watching closely to see whether any sign of mercy would come from him. And they quickly grasped at this word and said, "Your brother Ben-Hadad." So he said, "Go bring him." Then Ben-Hadad came out to him, and he had him come up into the chariot. So Ben-Hadad said to him, "The cities which my fathers took from your father, I will restore, and you may set up marketplaces for yourself in Damascus, as my father did in Samaria." Then Ahab said, "I will send you away with this treaty." So he made a treaty with him, sent him away. 36. Now certain men of the sons of prophets said to his neighbor, "By the word of the Lord, strike me, please." And the man refused to strike him. Then he said to him, "Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, surely as soon as you depart from me, a lion shall kill you." And as soon as he left him, lion found him and killed him. The prophet deliberately sought a wound to appear as an injured soul, enabling him to effectively deliver a divine message to King Ahab. Earlier, another man was killed by a lion because he directly disobeyed the lion, the Lord's instructions conveyed to the prophets. 37. And he found another man, said, "Strike me." So the man struck him, inflicting a wound. Then the prophet departed and waited for the king by the Lord and disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes. Now as the king passed by, he cried out to the king and said, "Your servant went out in the midst of a battle. And there a man came over and brought a man to me, said, 'Guard this man. If by any means he is missing, your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver.' While your servant was busy here and there, he was gone." Then the king of Israel said to him, "So shall your judgment be. You yourself have decided it." And he hastened to take the bandage away from his eyes, and the king of Israel recognized him as one of the prophets. Then he said to him, "Thus says the Lord, because you have let slip out of your hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore your life shall go for his life, and your people for his people." Normally, kings were not merciful, yet Ahab, facing his enemy, chose to show mercy. It's tough to explain why Ahab let Ben-Hadad go, especially after all the trouble Syria had caused him. God had helped Ahab crush the Syrian army to prove to both Ahab and Syria that he was the one true God. But Ahab failed to destroy to the king his biggest enemy. Because of this, God told Ahab he would die instead. This prophecy came true when Ahab was later killed in battle. God often uses the people to accomplish his work, but there is a downside. Humans don't always stay faithful because we make our own choices. Our lives often become difficult due to disobeying God. So even when we are celebrating a big victory, our failure to obey can turn our joy into sadness and sorrow. Cross reference right there. So we covered all three questions. You may continue to keep on prayer. Here listed all missionaries, including Iran and South Sudan, you know, all around. So let's sing all together Maranatha song on brochure.